Good morning, brothers and sisters. Most people will feel privileged when they have so many transport to travel one place to another place. If one village or city have so many trains to go different place, they feel proud. They can go easily wherever they want. Why I'm saying like this? Church, Cornerstone Church, is privileged because you have three different trains. One train is going, a superfast express, is going to Corinth, city of Corinth. Another one is, it is going to Colossae. Another train is going to Thessalonica. Three trains are important, right? It is going different places. So what I am saying is, today we are going to pick up a train to Colossae, which is very important. Every scripture in the Bible is very important for us. Each book is dealing different issues in the Bible. So I want to draw your attention to Colossians today. We have finished up to chapter 2, verse 3. We have finished chapter 1 onwards, chapter 2, verse 3. Today we are going to look at verse 4 and 5. Chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Before we read that portion and study it, I want to tell you some facts. Brothers and sisters, generally speaking, we follow some principles to keep our weight under control. Do you agree? Sometimes I do. To keep my weight under control. Not eating rice or carbohydrates. Going for walk, doing exercise. You won't eat some food even though your mouth is watering when others are eating. To protect your body from obesity. You follow some principles. Not only that, some people follow some principles to protect their body from sugar, diabetes. They won't add sugar to tea or coffee. You remember, if somebody comes to your house, we should ask, less or plus? Less means we should not add sugar. Plus means we need to add sugar. Because some people are facing diabetes. But those people, they won't drink soft drinks, even sugarcane juice. They won't eat even bananas. To protect their body from diabetes. But the most of the thing, which is good to follow, protect ourselves from most of the diseases, but most of church people, Christians, are neglecting to protect themselves from heretical deceptions, false teaching, which are more dangerous than obesity and diabetes, any kind of diseases. Physical diseases sometimes kill only your body, but heretical deceptions kills the souls of people and disrupts the faith of believers. This is very dangerous than diseases, brothers and sisters. So Paul is teaching us principles to protect ourselves from false teaching. That's what we are going to look at today. We need to protect ourselves from false teaching. Just look at chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. It says, I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. If you see these two verses, we can say Paul says here that no one should deceive the church members repeatedly, continuously. That is the idea. There is a spiritual threat to this church because of false teachers. We must be careful about that deception. This is heretical deception. But don't worry about that. Paul is giving principles to to protect ourselves from false teaching. He gave two principles in this passage. One is in verse 4, part A, verse 4. Second one is in verse 5. So theme of this passage is protecting ourselves from heretical deception. Two principles to protect ourselves from heretical deception. First principle is set your mind on truth that is precious. Set your mind on truth that is precious. Look at verse 4. It says, I say this so that no one will delude you with their persuasive arguments. Here Paul is saying things by having aim, goal concerning Colossians. See, he says, I say this so that no one will deceive you. Here, main point is what he is saying. Something he is saying that will protect them from deception. For that, we need to look back to his words. Colossians chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. From he says, especially verse 2, he says, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from full assurance of understanding, resulting in the true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ. Look at verse 3. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ is the source of all hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Have you seen the word treasure? The treasure of wisdom and knowledge, which is precious, more valuable. We need to focus on that. Paul is saying that you need to focus. You need to set your mind the truth from the Bible, which is precious. The most precious things are in Christ, brothers and sisters. You cannot find precious things, valuable things in somewhere else. You can only find precious things, valuable things only in Christ. If they set their mind on precious things, what is in Christ, then they will achieve the goal of a caring pastor. Here, Paul's care, he's caring about the church so that no one will deceive the church. For that, you need to set your mind on the truth, which is precious. Let me ask you like this, brothers and sisters. If you love your present job, will you search another job? If you have good mobile phone with you, will you buy another mobile phone? If you love your spouse, will you run after another person? Never, right? If you love your job, you won't search for another job. If you are satisfied with your mobile, you won't buy another mobile. If you love your spouse, then you won't run after anyone. No one is precious to you if you love your spouse. The same way, if you love the truth, the precious truth which is in Christ, you won't run after false teaching. The false teachings won't be attracted to you. That is the idea here. You need to love the truth. You need to focus on the truth. That is the first principle to protect ourselves from heretical deception. Set your mind, brothers and sisters, on truth, which is precious. What is the goal? What is the result? What is the purpose of that? Paul's purpose to say these things. He said, the goal is that no one should deceive the church in Colossae by persuasive argument, repeatedly, continuously. False teachers' instrument is their speeches and their words. Look at the meaning of the word. Delude is deceive. This word is used in only New Testament, here and in James chapter 1 verse 22. There it refers to self-deception of those who are hearers of the word but not doers. But here it does not mean self-deception, but false teachers are trying to deceive church members. The means, the instrument is their persuasive argument. The meaning of the word persuasive is reasonable, believable, convincible, we can say that, but false. There is no truth in that, but looks like reasonable, convincible, believable. Whatever false teachers are teaching, it looks like, yeah, making sense. You feel like that. In that way, they will teach us. They will teach. They will preach. That's what Paul is saying here. The meaning of the arguments is speeches. That means they're teaching. We can say clearly, brothers and sisters, the means of deception is believable, convincible speeches that fill with falsehood. Their speeches looks like believable, reasonable, but they are heresy, dressed with the truth. Those are inaccurate, dangerous teachings leading others into errors. Be careful, brothers and sisters. Don't believe anybody who preaches the word. Sometimes we pretend like this. They are preaching from Bible, no? Everybody preaches from Bible, but you should read Bible carefully. They looks like reasonable, but they are filled with errors, heresies. Their teaching are very different from the true messengers of the gospel. Paul said that, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 4. Paul says like this, my message and my preaching were not persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power. The true teacher preaches in that preaching the Holy Spirit, and also power is there. But in false teaching, there is no Holy Spirit involvement, there is no power in that. But they looks like reasonable when they preach us. You remember Jude said, they are unreasonable animals. There is no reasonings in their teachings. But they looks like. But you need to be careful, brothers and sisters. Don't be deceived. When we will be deceived? When you believe somebody else, right? Most of the church members, not here, overall India, in world, they believe false teachers. They are being deceived by false teachers. That's what Paul is encouraging. You need to focus on the truth, which is precious. Those are in Christ. Then you can escape from false teachers. But we should understand that false teachers are not teaching the truth, just errors. If you think about what are the speeches of false teachers, we can say that clearly. They can use the Bible. Then they can tell the heresy. One is Christ is created being. For that they will show that he is the son of God. Look at the word. It says son of God. That means he is not God. He is created being. Colossians, he says that. He is the firstborn of all creation. They show this verse and they explain that. They tell that he is first created one, created being. Like that they will confuse. They will deceive the church. They're using the scripture, deceiving people. Because they won't understand the scripture properly. They may say that Christ is never a God in human flesh. You remember Gnosticism? There is no good in material things. If Jesus become man, there is no deity in his body. That's why Paul says, chapter 2. Verse 9, in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Here Paul is attacking false teachers. He is protecting church from false teachers. But these people preach us like this. They may say salvation comes by righteous work, his righteous work and our righteous work. Then they will show James chapter 2 verse 24. You see that a man justified by works, not by faith alone. Have you seen that verse? They will confuse. But we know that truth, if you have genuine faith, the works follows that. The works is not means to salvation, the works is proof to salvation. So that is the idea, but they will twist the scripture. But when you listen to their preaching, teaching, it looks like reasonable. Yeah, that is in scripture only. Be careful. That's why you need to study the scripture. That's why you need to focus on your mind on the truth, which is in Christ, precious one. That's why he built the picture first, then he is telling that. verse 1 to 3, he builded who is Christ. Not only that, verse 15 onwards, chapter 1, he is telling who Christ is. He is sufficient. He is enough for us. Everything. He is supreme over everything. Please focus on Christ. Then he is telling, the people will come, they may deceive. Be careful. Brothers and sisters, this is the reason why Paul says to church to fill themselves with wisdom and knowledge of Christ, which are most precious than anything else. Your gold, your buildings, nothing compared to the preciousness, the truth of Christ. Brothers and sisters, it is better not to associate with them, not allow ourselves to sit under their teachings or words. It is not good to talk too much with false teachers. If you are a weak person, even though you are a strong person, better to avoid those people. They will confuse you. Even they confuse many pastors. You are nothing, right, compared to pastors. They read Bible, they pray every day. They are deceiving even pastors. Please avoid those people. You remember 2 John verse 10 says, John says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house. Don't welcome any false teacher into a house. He said, do not give him a greeting. Don't say good morning. Don't say praise the Lord. Don't say hi. If you have courage, you say get out from my house. Because these are false teachers. These are false teachers. You need to be careful, brothers and sisters. I know you have good doctrine in this church, but I don't know you are watching TVs or you are going somewhere else for conferences. But be careful what teaching you are getting. If you focus on the true teaching, brothers and sisters, you don't have time to listen to their teaching, their arguments, their speeches. If you set your mind to the truth, which is precious. Second principle, to protect ourselves from heretical deception, is sit under a caring pastor. Sit under a caring pastor. This is second principle we must follow. Look at verse 5, it says, for even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. If you see this verse 5, you can see the marks of caring pastor. Clearly you can see that. We can see two marks of a caring pastor. First mark of caring pastor is, he loves the church always. He loves the church always. Contradiction, false teachers do not love the church always. They won't love the church anyways. That is the idea I want to convey. But true teacher loves always the church. Look at verse 5. It says, for even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit. I am absent in body. Here Paul is not with them physically because he is in imprisonment. He is not able to meet them physically, personally. Even though Paul is absent from Colossians, he is aware that the danger that is in church of Colossae. If he was at Colossae, he can deal with that. But he is not able to come because he is in imprisonment. But he said, I am with you in spirit. To understand this, we need to read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. The same phrases he used in that. Verse 3, for I, on my part, though absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this, as though I were present. Verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit. Have you seen the same phrases he used in Corinthians? He speaks of himself as being present in spirit in the assembly at Corinth, while he was at Ephesus. Here he was at prison, but he is saying, I am present with you in spirit. How did Paul say that he is present in spirit with Colossians? Is he omnipresent? Shall we start worshipping Paul? What a great person you are. You are there at imprisonment, but you are staying Colossians. Maybe you are omnipresent. Shall we start worshipping? Somebody start writing songs on upon Paul, then we sing about him, right? Is it talking about omnipresence of Paul? No, it is not talking about that one. It is talking about, we need to understand, what does it mean to be with church in spirit? The possible answer will be, he is present in agreement in heart with the church in Colossae. In this way, he was with the church at Corinth in the process of discipline. He was at Ephesus, but he disciplined whom? That sinning wicked person. So he is agreeing with the church. That's what he means. But here, Paul, in the church, he is with them in this way. Paul is encouraging them and corrects them, commends them because they have faith, they have love, they have hope, and teaches them sound doctrine about Christ's work and person. He can help the church grow spiritually even though he is far from them. That's what it means. Even though he was in imprisonment, he is influencing, he is helping the church to grow. That's why he says, I am with you in spirit, even though I am in imprisonment. Of course, he was praying that his teaching, his writing may encourage them, help them to protect themselves from deception of false teachers. The mainly his counseling, his teaching. That is the idea, to be with the church. So we can say that Paul loves the church, brothers and sisters. His heart is always with the church. Why he was telling these words? There is a purpose. Why he is telling, I am with you in spirit? Because false teachers are different from true teachers or pastors. He is explaining that. Even though I am far from you, I love you. Even though false teachers among you, they won't love you. That means it is encouraging us to sit under a caring pastor. He is loving the church. He is helping them. A caring pastor always has concern about the church, whether he is near or far away from the church. That is the mark, a caring pastor. But false teachers don't have concern for the church, even though they are near to the church. If they are far away from the church, forget about their concern for the church. That is the idea. Forget about their concern. They won't care the church. But I care. I care. You follow true teachers. You sit under true teachers. Then you will protect yourself from false deception. Brothers and sisters, to protect yourself from the deception of falsehood, you should sit under a caring, a loving pastor whose heart always with the church. That is the principle you must follow. Whoever you are, if you are true Christ, believer of Christ, if you are true child of God, the first principle you should follow, you need to sit under a caring pastor and also set your mind upon Christ. But one thing you need to do, brothers and sisters, pray for your elders and your pastor so that he or they may have deep love for you. Because they have their own family. They have to look after their family. They have personal problems. At the same time, they need to look after you. So they need more strength than you. They are very weaker than you. I can say that. I can accept that. So you need to pray for pastors so that they can look after family. They can look after you. They need more strength, more grace. Pray for them. That is your duty. So that they may have concern for you. Pray that they may influence you to grow in Christ, in deep relationship with Christ, in times of heresies especially. Not only that, you need to depend upon your elders, your pastors, for your personal life. Sometimes some Christians, they won't open their thoughts to pastors. They won't open their lives to pastors. They will suffer themselves. They won't ask any counseling. That is not biblical, brothers and sisters. I beg you. See, even Paul, he himself, he's encouraging. Teachers are here, pastors are here. Christ gave them to you so that you can open your life with them. When you are not able to deal your personal problems, whether it is doctrinal problems, whether it is personal problems, he will give you your wisdom. He will help you from the Bible. That's what you need to understand. Run to Christ first. Run to pastors under Christ. That is your primary duty when you have problems like heresies or personal problems. Not only that, have friendship with dead pastors by reading their books, who can influence your spiritual life. Buy some books, good books. Buy about A.W. Pink's, some books you buy. Or buy some Martin Lloyd Johnson. Buy some books and read some John MacArthur commentaries. Or read some John MacArthur books. Grace to you, they are offering 20% free. They are giving discount. Buy those books and read. Fill your mind. By the way, Pastor John is preaching even now. You can follow him. You can follow dead people also. Dead pastors also. They can influence you even though they are not with you. That's what Paul is saying here. The second mark of a caring pastor is he seeks the church's spiritual maturity. Not only he loves the church, he seeks the church's spiritual maturity. Look at verse 5 part B. Rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Paul says that he is rejoicing continually in an ongoing state while he is absent in flesh, present in spirit. Even though he is in imprisonment, he is rejoicing. It is continuous tense. That means he has joy to see the spiritual maturity of the church. Look at, he says to see. Here Paul is saying that the purpose of his presence in spirit with the church, meaning of to see is perceive, to note two things that he wants to see in the lives of church. First thing, our right order. Look at verse 5 part B says, rejoicing to see your good discipline, which means right order, orderly condition. This word can appear in military context and denotes the position that soldiers occupy in a camp. It's like they're having soldiers take their position in right order in war. If they don't have the right order in war, then they will be deceived, right? They will be defeated by their enemies. In the same way, the Colossians should have their right order in the church. Peter O'Brien, he says, in his commentary, he says, Paul is with them as field commander, standing before his troops, arranging the ranks for the battle once more. He says, right, I am with you in spirit. That means Paul is with them in spirit, then he is helping them to stand in order position. To understand this word, we need to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. 14 verse 40. Look at chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. It says, but all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. The same word he used. We need to understand the context of this verse. Why Paul is saying like this? There was a disorder in the church in Corinth, right? We know that. Prophets are prophesying, and some people are speaking tongues, and middle women are speaking. Everything is confused, right? There is no order in the church. There is a confusion in the church. That's why he said that in a orderly manner. But all things must done properly in an orderly manner. Here Colossians are having right order in the church. Why I am saying? Because look at, he says to see what good discipline. He says, right, to see good discipline. That means here Paul wants to see continually the right order, orderly condition of the church. So we can say that they have right order in the church. Corinthian church, they don't have right order in the church. Colossians, they have right order in the church. But what Paul is saying, they should continue. They must have right order, orderly condition in the church continually because of false teachers. That's what Paul is saying. To see is present tense. That means I need to see continually your right order because of false teachers. Maybe we can say they have right order like this. They were listening to a good preacher like Epaphras, like-minded persons. We can say not listening to false teachers, even though they are asking them to let preach in the church. Sometimes no false teachers come and see it. They will request, Pastor Vijay, can you give one sermon for me? I will preach. They will ask. They will beg. But Colossian church, they are not allowing. They have good discipline. Good orderly condition they have. We know once one person came. He is sharing something with Stanley Zobe. He is asking suddenly, I want to share some thoughts. I want to share some testimonies. He said, don't ask that. We won't give you. Because we need to see the people. We need to search that person. We need to know that person, whether he is good or bad. If he is bad, we need to say no. Like that Colossians are doing. They have right order in their church. Maybe they are having well-ordered Christian behavior, which demonstrate their faith in Christ. They have right order in their church. If Christians do not have this kind of order, then they are opening the door to false teachers to break the protection from deception. But if they have this kind of right order in the church, then they will win the war against false teachers because they have right orderly condition in the church. So Paul wants to see this in the church continually. For that he is enjoying, rejoicing continually. Brothers and sisters, have the right order to protect yourself from the deception of false teachers. You need to sit under a caring pastor. Don't allow pastors or teachers to teach in this church. See, I may die. Pastors may die. You are permanent. Church is permanent. But you need to have this high view. You should not give anybody this pulpit. You remember Pastor Chris came. In his sermon, openly he said, he's opening his Bible. Sammy dared to give me this chance to preach. That means he's thinking that he's telling indirectly we should not give anybody our pulpit in our church. We must be very careful. We must be very careful, brothers and sisters. That is good order, rightly conditioned in our church. Have a godly behavior to avoid deception. Brothers and sisters, false teachers cannot deceive those who follow Bible, those who have godly behavior according to sound doctrine. If you have orderly condition, no one will touch you. If you know the Bible, no one will attack you. They may attack, but you can escape from them. If you have orderly condition, good discipline. The second thing that he wants to see in the lives of the church is our steadfast faith in Christ. Look at verse 5, part B. To see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Stability of your faith in Christ. The meaning of the word stability in Greek is condition of firm commitment. We can say firmness, steadfastness. Here Paul wants to see the firmness, steadfastness of faith of church in Colossae. Here Paul is saying that the church should have solid faith in Christ. A firm commitment to faith in Christ. This will help them to stand against false teaching, against false heresies. It can be taken here metaphorically, again in military sense, solid front. Here Paul wants to see the church in Colossae should stand on the front line in battle. This is compulsory for them because of deception of the false teachers. They are trying to deceive believers. They are trying to deceive nominal Christians. The stability of faith is proven in the early church members, brothers and sisters. Our faith should grow. Our faith should have stability always. Look at Acts chapter 16 verse 5. Acts chapter 16 verse 5 says, so the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in numberly daily. See, our church, when our faith is increasing day by day, when we have stability of our faith in Christ, even members will increase. More people come to know Christ because we are having faith. We are demonstrating that faith to the world. Paul wanted to leave. Actually, Paul wanted to die, but he wanted to leave because for this reason. Look at Philippians chapter 1 verse 25. It says, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. You remember that context? He wants to die, but he said, I want to leave. Why he wants to leave? To see the progress of the faith in the church. It is very important, brothers and sisters. Even disciples, they asked, how can we grow in our faith? We need to understand. Paul's desire is for this. This is Paul's desire for this. What is the time that we should have stability of our faith in Christ? What is the time we must have stability of our faith? I say always. Always we must have stability of our faith in Christ. But mostly it will be used as a weapon in times of suffering. There is a chance to doubt Christ in times of suffering. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 9. It says, but resist him firm in your faith. Firm in your faith, he says. Here Peter is also encouraging Christians to be firm in the faith. If they have any question about how it will be done in the suffering time, he says, he gives the model of having solid faith in suffering. He says that knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Who are in the world, brethren, they have firm, solid faith. So you should have solid faith, stability of your faith in times of suffering. Not only that, there is a chance to doubt Christ in times of heresies. This is true in this church in Colossae. So Paul wants to see the stability of their faith, even though in the times of heresies. Again, see, he says to see, it is also present tense, same word, to see, present tense. This means he wants to see the stability of their faith in times of false teaching, an ongoing state, continually. It gives an important thought about Colossians, that is, although it was troubled by false teachers, the church was still in sound doctrine, still in sound faith. Look at chapter 1 verse 3 to 4. Please look at chapter 1 verse 3 to 4. He says, we give thanks to God. Why? Verse 4 he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. See here, we need to understand. We should not judge church in Colossae. They don't have any faith. They have faith. They have stability of faith. But Paul wants them to have continually because of false teachers. Because he said to see, that is present tense, ongoing way, I need to see that. Paul was joyfully thanking God because of their faith. That is proof. By the way, the heresy had not achieved real success. If you look at Colossians chapter 2 verse 4, he says, right, let no one will deceive. no one will deceive. That means it did not happen. But he's saying that. Verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive. Not only that, verse 16. No one is act as your judge. If false teachers were succeeded, then Paul would not speak like this. So they are attacking, they are sharing false teaching, but Paul is protecting them. You must have stability of faith continually to fight against them. Because Paul knows that this is the powerful weapon against false teaching. If you have stability of faith in Christ, Paul wants them to continue or progress. What a loving, caring pastor, right? He is helping the church to protect themselves from the church. That's why I said, sit under a caring pastor. He will help you to protect yourself from deception. You know how much information, how much doctrine he gave to protect this church? So loving, caring pastor Paul was. He explained who Christ is. Chapter 1, verse 15 onwards, chapter 2, verse 3, he explained who Christ is, his supremacy, his sufficiency. Then he is telling that. Then he is telling, I am also with you. Brothers and sisters, we pastors are happy when you grow in stability of your faith. Ask Pastor Sammy, ask any pastor, if you grow in your stability of your faith, they will be very happy. Paul also very happy if they grow stability of in their faith in Christ, because they can protect themselves from heresies. Bible says that you should not let your leaders be sorrowful. Hebrews chapter 13. They must do this work with joy, right? One of the ways you can make them happy is to grow in the stability of your faith in Christ. You can make your pastor happy when you strengthen your faith in Christ day by day. What are the ways that you can strengthen your faith in Christ? Reading the Bible daily. Have your every day you should read at least one chapter. Read 5 verses, Baba. Don't neglect. When you are driving, when you are going to office, just take your mobile and read 5 verses. That is for your growth, right? You need to strengthen your faith. Brothers and sisters, not only that, hearing the word of Christ whenever it is available in the week. Because some things you won't understand. See, we are going through Book of Job. Something we won't understand. Unless we come to and sit, listen to a caring pastor who knows that, who studied before you. So we need to come, we need to attend church, we need to attend Bible study, try to attend Bible study. Church, we should attend. We need to try to attend Bible study because you will grow in your faith. Not only that, studying Bible, listening the word of God, word of Christ, you need to pray. You need to pray for your stability of your faith in Christ. Because, can I ask you, the faith is gift of God. Do you agree? Christ is the one who gives that gift to you. Christ, God is the one who strengthens your faith. So that means you need to ask him. You need to beg him, Lord, give me strength to believe you wherever I am. Whatever situation I am going through, I need to trust in you. Only God can help you, brothers and sisters. You cannot build your faith by yourself. You need to ask God. You need to pray for that. You need to read the scripture to build your faith. But pastor, a caring pastor, he wants to see these things from the church. So we need to follow those principles. Two principles to protect ourselves from heretical deceptions. One is, set your mind on truth that is precious. Second principle, sit under a caring pastor. Two principles you need to follow. Only two principles, brothers and sisters. See, in COVID time, no, how many principles you followed? You remember? Sad situation. You won't go out. If you see more crowd, you won't go that place. You will be separate. Then you wear mask. You won't remove mask. Then anything you buy from out, you need to wash that. You need to wash apple, everything. But we won't wash some things. We will use that. But we followed many rules. We have taken hot water. We have taken medicine, vitamins. D vitamin, right? How many sheets you bought? I bought D vitamin and C vitamin. More sheets. These medical shops, no, they become rich because of coronavirus, because of COVID. But what I'm saying, no, you followed many rules to protect yourself from COVID. You need to follow these two principles to protect yourself from false deception. Set your mind only on the precious things. Sit under a caring pastor. God will protect you. That is sure. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this time. What a loving God you are. Lord, you saved us. You did not leave us as orphan, but looking after us, giving us pastors who cares us, giving us your word to protect ourselves from false teachings. Lord, help us, Lord, to follow these principles so that we can glorify your name, so that we can follow you, we can be light to the world. Help us, each and every one of us. Help Cornerstone Community Church and those who came outside of this church, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, to trust in you. Increase our faith in times of suffering, in times of heresies, Lord. Bless this church for your glory. Make us humble, Lord. We have no power to follow you. We have no power to have trust in you, but you will give that strength and grace. We depend upon you always, Lord. Help this church to grow more and more for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.